Hello there. Today's podcast is from Jake the Writer, the nearly retired travel journalist and commentator. It's more up to date than many taken from my blogs. In fact, I wrote and recorded it while another lapse in airport security was actually happening. The timeline, Tuesday the 29th of March, 2016. I've called it, Oops, There Goes Another One. I'm writing this while watching the live TV pictures from Larnaca Airport in Cyprus, where Egypt Air flight MS-181 has landed after being hijacked from Alexandria. It had been on a domestic flight in Egypt between Cairo and Alexandria and was hijacked by an individual later named as Saif Elin Mustafa, who was threatening to blow up the plane with a bomb. My initial thoughts were that couldn't have happened on an El Al flight because the pilot would have confidentially said, "You're not the Messiah, you're a very naughty boy," or words to that effect. He certainly would have been able to refuse his demands by saying, "You could not have boarded this plane with a bomb, so you are bluffing, and if you do not immediately surrender, you are about to be shot by one of our marshals." The difference between airport security in Israel and America or Europe is that the Israelis do not just go through the motions of security. They are looking primarily for a terror suspect, whereas the American and Europeans are looking for weapons, bottles of water, or illicit liquids. The Israelis are advocates of what is known as profiling. That's building pictures of both passengers and airline staff. Not in the manner of stereotyping, such as looking for young Muslim men. Instead, it's based on behaviour both prior to flying, that is when and how and where a ticket is purchased, and behaviour at the airport itself. El Al employs people who have been trained in psychological observation techniques to interview every passenger before he or she is cleared to go through physical screening. Anyone who arouses their suspicion is then subjected to a further grilling and may be refused permission to fly. It is thought, by me that is, that some of their profiling techniques may not be politically acceptable in Europe. El Al just shrug and say, "It works." In Great Britain and Europe, the prohibition on carrying liquids on board was introduced in response to the method of mixing chemicals to explosive effect revealed by a 2006 plot. If security staff find illicit liquids, they deliver a ticking off and confiscate the containers, but still allow the passenger to fly. Discovery of a gun, by contrast, would result in immediate arrest. Despite the mild consequences, nobody has been apprehended trying to get bomb-making liquids on board in a decade. This is not really because such measures have deterred terrorists from trying such method again. The same likewise with passengers having to remove their shoes when no shoe bomber has been detected after Reed's cack-handed attempt at being a shoe bomber. The terrorists have succeeded in causing upheaval at every airport with what they did, so it's mission complete for them. Both the US and the UK security is purely a theatrical performance intended to reassure passengers and lull them into a false sense of security. In fact, the American Transport Administration have proved the inadequacies in spotting determined passengers' attempts to get hazardous items onto an aircraft. A team of Homeland Security succeeded in getting fake bombs and weapons through the standard screening process in 67 out of 70 tests in various airports in America. Tests carried out by Special Forces teams have had similar results in the UK. I wonder why. The security screening process is an incredibly boring job. Nearly all alerts and warnings are false alarms. It's incredibly hard for people to remain vigilant in that sort of situation, and sloppiness is inevitable. Disassembled weapons have a good chance of getting through. Now, I had a lot of brickbats to throw at Sharm el-Sheikh airport security when Russian Airbus was taken out of the sky, but is no worse than others at vetting staff. British airports employ those who follow jihadist social media sites, and in some big American airports, employees are not screened on their way into work if they have an identity card. Some clue as to how easy it is to put a bomb into somebody else's bag is shown by the number of valuables stolen from check-in luggage. In the past 4 years prior to 2014, that's the last available figures, passengers made more than 30,000 reports of missing property. This year, police in Miami International Airport used a hidden camera to film baggage handlers rifling through the bags in a plane's hold and stealing whatever took their fancy. Security experts think that such practice is widespread worldwide. El Al spends more than other airlines on different types of security, with armed marshals on every flight. Hold baggage is subjected to pressure testing, and elsewhere better technology might improve the performance of conventional screening. But giving everyone a pat-down is far too predictable and a waste of resources. Terrorists don't like unpredictability. Confiscating my wife's nail file and hand cream is too theatrical for the most bored Jobsworth, even if it did relieve his boredom. Simply offering more airport security by rote seems a poor idea. There should be far more emphasis on dealing with insider threats through better vetting and more intrusive vetting of staff. Plus, far more less predictable screening of passengers, like swab tests and more sniffer dogs, et al. Keeping a sense of proportions, statistically everyone will tell you that flying is the safest form of travel. You are more likely to be fatally crushed by furniture than killed by a terrorist. Terrorism is effective in doing what its name says, inspiring profound fear. But despite unremitting coverage of the Paris and Brussels attacks, an objective examination of the facts shows that terrorism is an insignificant danger to the vast majority of people in the West. The last couple of years have been especially bad in plane safety, with the disappearance of Malaysia Airlines Flight 370, the shooting down of MH17 over Ukraine, and the recent crashes of Transasia Airways and Air Algérie planes, and the Russian Airbus A321 out of Sharm el-Sheikh. But back to the sense of proportion. Look at the most recent atrocities will highlight that many more people travel by buses and trains, attend open-air concerts and sporting events. These are all potential targets for terrorists and yet receive not even a fraction that air travellers get. No one confiscated my Swiss Army knife when I went to a recent Status Quo concert. On a personal note, I would add that enhanced security on airport staff would at least make me feel that far less valuables would be stolen from our luggage. That could see a reduction in our travel insurance. Yeah, you wish. Finally, I'm pleased to report that the hijack of a domestic Egyptian flight that caused it to be diverted to Cyprus has ended with all hostages released, no one injured, and the hijacker, Mr. Saif Eldin Mustafa, surrendering. No one was injured. Thanks be to God. Thanks for listening.